Chapter 26, Trappings.
So, what's it going to be?
I said, what do you mean?
I mean, will you allow the group of us to assist your career now and then? And in return, do you promise to do the same thing down the road when you are in a position to help others, other deserving students?
I said, oh, sounds great. I'd like to think about it, though.
Oh, what is there to think about?
I don't know. It's like being proposed to on a first date.
Why do you put it in those terms? I am simply talking about your joining a fraternity to which you already belong.
Well, it seems like a big commitment.
Sure, it's a big one. But is it so difficult to make?
No, I guess not. Probably not. I just want to think about it. He pretended to be satisfied, but he wasn't. He was peeved. He backed off.
All right, then. You'll think about it. And let me know. Talk to your advisor, Professor Hopkins.
I will.
I bet I know what he'll say.
What will he say?
He'll quote you Shakespeare, that's what he'll do. He'll say there is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries.
At 10 o'clock, when we left the building, it was still snowing. Another inch had been added to the total. I accompanied Blackwell to his limousine, which was purring at the curb. His chauffeur was standing at the ready. As we were saying our goodbyes, standing next to the windshield, I watched as two long, sleek windshield wipers, at intervals, emerged from below hood level, squeegeed the tinted glass, and swept the newly fallen flakes like dead moths into a mass grave. The grim image brought to mind the news about Audrey. Blackwell said,
"You sure I can't give you a lift?"
"No, thanks. I don't mind walking. It'll give me time to think." Blackwell nodded approvingly. His chauffeur was peering about in all directions. He seemed anxious for Blackwell to get in. He was also, indirectly, keeping a watchful eye on me. Blackwell, pulling at the fingertips of his kid glove, removed it and then offered me a handshake.
"Well, Parker, it's been fun. Thanks for coming."
"Thank you for inviting me, Mr. Blackwell, and thanks for everything." We had stopped shaking hands, but he hadn't let go. He tilted his head back slightly so he could sight down on me.
"Now, you promise you're going to think about it?"
"Yes, I will."
"And let me know."
"I will. I promise." Finally, he released my hand and got in. The steely-eyed chauffeur shut the door immediately. Locks engaged. Blackwell's security now assured. Crossing me off the list of potential threats, the chauffeur made his way around to his side. He nodded just slightly as he got in behind the wheel. Blackwell's side window ghosted down. Subdued lighting showed off the plush interior. As the car departed, he waved out the window, and I heard him call back,
"Roar, lion, roar!"
Like an ocean liner departing the dock, the limousine pulled away from the curb, and I was left behind in a wake of swirling snow. I headed for the nearest subway entrance, then changed my mind and turned north, deciding to hoof it after all. There were so many issues pressing on my mind. Not only of the worrisome news about Audrey, but now it seemed my entire future must be decided. Shakespeare was right. There is a tide in the affairs of men. Here I was closing out my second decade on the planet, 16 years of which had been spent in schools, preparing for something. For what? I wasn't sure. Now my tide was about to turn and flow out, and like it or not, ready or not, I was going to have to decide in what direction to steer my floating vessel. Or, as Blackwell had put it, what I was going to gobble up. Part of me resented having to decide at all. It was a great big pain in the neck. Essentially, as I saw it, there were two role models placed before me. Two polar exemplars. Hugh Blackwell and Professor Hopkins. Both giants in their own chosen fields. But whose path was best and which role model did I want to emulate? Blackwell or Hopkins? Doer versus thinker. Power versus art. Money versus literature. Purses versus verses. On the one hand, to be rich like Blackwell and be able to say, as he could, "Look after this person for me. Let me know if he needs anything." That surely seemed an attractive lifestyle. Was I tempted by the trappings of wealth and power? Naturally. Who wouldn't be? But I was also aware of the fact that they weren't called trappings for nothing, which spoke for the wisdom of living a life like Professor Hopkins, whose great purpose and joy in life was sharing with his students his love and passion for literature and the truths expressed therein. That path seemed appealing too, and perhaps less likely to leave me high and dry and needing to retreat to my old college days, as Blackwell had been doing all evening. It seemed that for all his worldly success, Hugh Blackwell was a tormented man. Whereas for all his present unhappiness, Professor Hopkins seemed basically contented. Professor Hopkins was finding disillusionment because the Grim Reaper was stalking his daughter. That was temporary. It would pass, particularly if she recovered. Although I knew less about Blackwell, he seemed to me to be facing disillusionment too, but of a more deep-seated nature, harder to fathom. Was it the drums of old age, his view of the world and the way it was changing? Or was it something that he saw over his shoulder, or maybe when he looked in the mirror? Whatever it was, it seemed to be fueling an almost compulsive need to become nostalgic and fall back on his college years. It was late by the time I made it back to campus. All the entrances were locked, so I had to enter by college gate and pass between the twin statues, Scientitia and Letters. Now, in my weariness, they had changed into my two role models. Professor Hopkins was Letters, holding open the book on his chest, while Blackwell was Scientitia, and the granite globe he was cradling in the crook of his arm had now transformed into a brandy snifter with a snow cone filling. I made it back onto my floor without violating curfew. I quickly undressed and got into bed. My last thought before falling asleep was that when I finally had to choose, I knew I would opt for Professor Hopkins' path before I chose one like Blackwell's. Nevertheless, it was Hugh Blackwell I ended up phoning first thing in the morning.